Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me start out by saying, from my perspective, it's in a sense good to be back out of sabbatical, but it also bears some concern in terms of getting back into the traces. The end and the beginning. I would suggest that for some of you, there are also some beginnings and endings, and for some of you, the beginning of the ending. We may even have a Greek student who has wandered in early, where it is the beginning, even here at the seminary, and the ending of what some of us call a former life. Some of you had this marvelous break between quarters of a whole weekend. Beginnings and endings. And without trying to wax philosophical with you this morning, I would suggest to you that there is no beginning without an ending, or an ending without a beginning. And so I've chosen this morning to take a text or texts from beginning and ending, the very beginning of Scripture reads, "In the beginning, God." And in the very ending of Scripture, in the book of Revelation, twice within the last chapters, we hear Jesus saying, "I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the one who is and was and is to come." I don't know where each of you is this morning, where your beginnings and endings may be, and how you feel about them. But beginnings and endings are a way of life. One day ends and another begins. A quarter ends and another begins. Seminary training ends, and a life as pastor of a parish begins. Sem 2 ends, and a vicarage beginning looms on the horizon. Endings can be joyful, and endings can be sad, and beginnings can be exciting, or beginnings can be terror-filled. In some ways, it is a terrible shame. And as I was preparing for this sermon and I reread the book of Revelation and concentrated in certain parts of it, something dawned on me as I read, though, that awesome warning of the Lord in the book of Revelation, where it says, "Whosoever detracts, diminishes from anything in this prophecy, his name will be removed from the book of life, and whoever adds anything to it, the plagues of this book will be added." In some ways, I thought perhaps the most interesting way and the awesome way that we detract from that book is by not looking at it at all. That's perhaps the ultimate in diminishing from that book of prophecy, is by simply ignoring it. Because in that book of prophecy is one of the most glorious promises of our God. I've told the story to some of you in class that I had a little layman one time We were discussing parts of the book of Revelation, and he raised his hand and he said, "Pastor, I can sum up the whole book of Revelation in two words." And you know, as pastors are, sometimes with our noble theological training, you know, you kind of grab onto the table and say, "Gee, what's this guy going to come up with? What's the latest thing he read?" or whatever. And I tell you the story to help you understand that sometimes you can learn from your lay people also. Because he just very simply, when with all the pious faith that he truly had, he just said, "Pastor, you can sum up the whole book of Revelation in the two words, Jesus wins." And I thought of that and I said, "Isn't that marvelous? That really is what the book of Revelation is talking about. Jesus wins. And when he wins, we win with him." And so Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And I suppose we could look at that systematically and we could talk, and I suppose most of us could write a paper on it, and we could take and give a long verbal treatise in terms of the eternity of God and the co-eternity of Jesus. And we'd feel very good about ourselves because we would do a good job. And my fear is that we could write that whole paper, give that whole speech, and not take one moment of time to apply it to ourselves in terms of what is Jesus saying here. The timeless one is saying, "I am the beginning and the end. I am the one who is and one who is to come." We can talk about justification and objective justification and what it is and what it means. And here we have Jesus simply saying to us, "I am the one who is and one who is to come and always has been, and I am with you and I forgive you yesterday and today and until you close your eyes in death. I am the forgiving, ever-present one." Certainly he's with you with the trials and troubles of the day. Certainly he is here all the time. He hears your prayer as he even went to pray with his Father, as we heard in the lesson, and encouraged to pray in the hymn that we sang. And he is there as a ready help, always, ever present. But we also know that that biggest concern and problem of ours is that sin that so easily besets us. The ones that were forgiven at the altar yesterday and come back to haunt us and plague us today, not because his forgiveness hasn't been complete, but because we can't forget. So does that Jesus, the ever-present Jesus, the forgiving Jesus, who is with us today and a minute from now and this afternoon and tomorrow morning, saying, "I forgive you"? It is very strange for those of us who go out and work with pastors, who have dealt with pastors who have been burnout, so-called, with pastors who are being taken out of the ministry or are quitting the ministry. And I'll never forget an experience I had one afternoon with just such a man. And when we sat in a Ponderosa steakhouse, and I pronounced absolution that early afternoon, I'll never forget the tears coming out of his eyes and streaming down his cheeks. He said, "You know, that's the first time in years that I personally have heard those words. Take my word for it and other pastors' word for it that you can stand at the altar week after week after week and pronounce the absolution and never hear those words yourself, that they apply to you. And I believe here at the seminary, there's that temptation that we get so locked into the study of theology that we don't hear for ourselves those simple words, "Your sins are forgiven you." And so on this day of beginning and ending and present, hear the Alpha and the Omega. Hear the is and the was and is to come. Hear the beginning and the ending. Say to each one of us individually, "My brother, my sister, your sins are forgiven you." And when we truly hear those words, then even new beginnings, whatever they may be, are exciting. And we can look forward to them because the is and the was and the shall be, the Alpha and the Omega, travels with us into that future. In Jesus' name, amen.